I'm John O'Loughlin. Welcome to McDuff Lives Podcast. Before 2019, there was no basis for what became this new disease, this SARS-CoV-2, until, you know, some bats and some pangolins got together in the wet market, or alternately, until some sneaky researchers put it together in a lab. But, you know, before that, there's no interest in, you know, what about Lyme disease? What about HIV? What about the other immunosuppressive diseases? Are they not related, and should we not be looking at connections and possible, you know, solutions that we might find by considering them all together? Well, to do that, you end up with the sleeper agent. You end up with this book. Hello, everybody. I'm John O'Loughlin. Welcome to McDuff Lives, and welcome to a minefields. Some of you might not even know that I do these shows called Minefields. It's an opportunity for me to just kind of riff on things that are on my mind. And I've been doing it for quite some time now. We have an archive of my older minefields that is building on our channel called McDuff Minefields Archive on Rumble. I'm not ready to let go yet, and I don't know if I ever will, of this book, The Sleeper Agent, by Adam Finnegan. Adam Finnegan, a young author who came into this knowledge the hard way through his own path through Lyme disease, and got to know people such as John Loftus, the great author, journalist, researcher, and attorney, who wrote such important books as The Belarus Secret. John Loftus's books, published mainly in the 80s and 90s, have to do with the hidden history of our military and our industrial and our spy complex. And his work is not always cited by mainstream scholars, but should be. And that's part of what I think I'm going to try to do, is to reintroduce John Loftus's work in addition to his contributions to The Sleeper Agent. There are a number of passages in The Sleeper Agent that kind of depend upon John Loftus being the source. And if you are a skeptical person, you might wonder, how can we know that the things that John Loftus said are correct? And the answer to that is, well, you have to study John Loftus. You have to study his work and his career. There is a series of videos that I found very helpful, done by a man named Leon Charney, C-H-A-R-N-E-Y. Leon Charney was a politician, an executive branch bureaucrat, and a broadcaster back in the 80s. I'm not sure when these were done, but you can find them on YouTube. Once again, John Loftus is the principal source, but the research was done by Adam Finnegan, and the writing was done by Adam Finnegan, and the incredible number of footnotes was all put together, and the German articles were translated by Adam Finnegan. And there's so much of Eric Traub's work here that probably nobody in America ever put together and studied ever, that we have to realize that this is the mother lode in terms of understanding the problem set forth in the book, The Rise of Lyme Disease, Chronic Illness, and the Great Imitator Antigens of Biological Warfare. I almost decided to call this show The Coronavirus Conspiracy. This is where my mind goes after reading this book, is to see all of the doctors and pundits out there on social media have their own theories, usually blaming somebody for an evil motive, or perhaps just screwing up. But the coronavirus has become endemic. According to Christian Drosten and other authorities, virologists all, it has become endemic, so it's no longer a pandemic and we can just settle down and live with it. However, some people have this thing called long COVID, and long COVID looks an awful lot like Lyme disease. Not just Adam's Finnegan saying it, there's a number of studies. You can just Google it yourself and find, you know, the similarities are breathtaking. So there's a number of other instances in our history that look suspicious now that we realize that there has been this biowarfare agenda all along. Where are the people looking behind COVID? Where are the people looking to see if COVID itself came from some previous biowarfare efforts? Well, I've studied it a lot. You know, I don't mind saying I put my time in. You know, I know the story of Snohomish County Man, and I know J.J. Cooey's work and Mark Kulak's work, George Webb's work, Paul Cottrell. I've studied for a while, but stopped following him. Oh, but there's so many others that you just see if you keep your eyes open on social media, such as Dr. Corey and Dr. Malone and Dr. McCulloch. But who are all these people really? Are they just talking heads put up there to entertain us, to give us an idea that perhaps these scientists are on top of things and they're going to give us a solution? Or, you know, are they really genuinely believers in that there was a clean slate, you know, before 2019, there was no basis for what became this new disease, this SARS-CoV-2, until, you know, some bats and some pangolins got together in the wet market, or alternately, until some sneaky researchers put it together in a lab. But, you know, before that, there's no interest in, you know, what about Lyme disease? What about HIV? What about the other immunosuppressive diseases? Are they not related? And should we not be looking at connections and possible, you know, solutions that we might find by considering them all together? Well, to do that, you end up with the sleeper agent. You end up with this book. And I'm going to just read a little bit of the epilogue. About COVID, it says that the COVID-19 pandemic was another upside-down situation that unraveled exactly as I predicted because the spike proteins on SARS-CoV-2 caused the same immune tolerance condition, termed long COVID. And the public health system's story kept changing and changing and changing, yet I knew every step of the way what was going to happen and did happen. And then he says, I have the emails to prove it. And he says, because I am well-versed in Traub's immune tolerance, and I understand how the disease works. The top brass in public health, I know they are not ignorant of how the condition works. They know, but they consciously choose to keep these facts to themselves because they have a political agenda to serve. A political agenda. Well, what could that be? If I've learned anything in researching and learning the science of immune tolerance, it is this. Modern science has little respect for actual science, actual truth. For science as it is in nature, rather than what it is for the special interests funding it. Greed, ego, prestige, status, profiteering, a need to fit in and feel relevant or important, herd mentality, fear of ridicule, all are too familiar traits of the human condition. Modern science is using the guise of science to sell us a political machine, a system of ulterior political agendas, using the name of science. Yet it is anything but scientific when it comes to the truth of nature's mechanics. So the truth of nature's mechanics is that, well, yeah, it is possible to mess with around in under the hood. And that's what bioweaponeers do. So instead of confining our study to October or September of 2019 to present, in this one particular form of disease that creates immune tolerance, why do we not look back to other things like Lyme disease that create immune tolerance, HIV immune tolerance? Let's go back and study other diseases that may very well be of the same sort, like Marburg, Ebola, the avian flus being weaponized. Once you recognize the fact that there are bioweaponeers they have been creating weapons that destroy the immune system's ability to fight infection, and that this has been going on for at least 100 years and probably closer to 150 years. And then we also have to, you know, point the finger. And I think we have to point the finger at Great Britain, who famously will use any means necessary to preserve the empire. And people wonder who's, you know, who's really the rich ones? Who's behind all this? Is it the Rothschilds, or is it the Chase, the Rockefellers, or the Carnegies? It's the British Empire that's behind it all. It's not the Jews. It's not Israel. It's Israel works, you know, to sustain this hidden empire. But the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of worth that the royal family alone has, not to mention the corporations of Great Britain and their huge trusts and things, are worth hundreds of trillions of dollars. And that is leverage that nobody can fight against if it's applied against you. You know, if you want to be your own scientist and cure cancer, well, you're not going to be able to do it unless you do it in such a way that that huge wealth fund approves. And so we start losing researchers and scientists in mysterious ways. Suicides happen. And the control of information is getting tighter and tighter and tighter. So I suggest that everybody in academia or medicine or government that touches upon the question of coronavirus must read The Sleeper Agent. Immune tolerance is the basis of chronic disease. Immune tolerance. It's simple. Now, science has been aware of immune tolerance at least since the 1960 Nobel Prize, which was awarded to those two scientists under a false assumption that they were the ones that put together this concept of immune tolerance, when in fact, maybe they put the name on it, but the concept of it was developed by Eric Traube under his mentor, Carl Beller, in 1936, 7, 8, 9, in Germany, at Insel Reims. Insel Reims is the key. That's where these horrible Marburg virus and other tick-borne diseases, the avian flus, that's where they developed it. And you know, I saw a notice from Fox News, or from somebody reporting that Fox News is quoting a meeting of pandemic experts with President Biden in response to reports of a new avian virus in Texas affecting people that work with pigs and cows. And the suggestion is made that there's been some zoonosis, some zoonotic transfer between the pigs and the cows and the humans. Well, if you've read The Sleeper Agent, then you can't just accept that on its face. If you've read The Sleeper Agent, you know that the diseases of mice have been passed into cattle, into passed into chickens, into passed into sheep, and passed into horses, passed from horses into humans for over 100 years. These passages that they call them are fine-tuned to enhance certain qualities. And the qualities that were fine-tuned for, for instance, neurotropic qualities that come from passing it through a mouse. Neurotropic means that your nerves will swell up, and then you'll get encephalitis. Your brain will stop working. You'll lose things like motor control. You will find yourself unable to explain why these things have happened, and yet look at all the people in the world that are suffering right now. And that, you know, brings me to Adam's real commitment to this book. You know, as he says, he does have a special talent for the study and investigation of the esoteric history of biological warfare. He does. And he put it together here. I have not seen anybody criticize this book that's read it. Nobody. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't think I need to read that because of, you know, it says something that I disagree with. I'm particularly mentioning a passage in the foreword written by John Loftus, in which he repeats the often stated statistic that it was that the so-called Spanish flu, October 8, 1918, released such a, I'll just read this, released such a cytokine storm of anti-pneumonia fluids into their lungs that they turned blue and literally drowned in their own bodies. That's truly what happened in the 1918 flu. Their lungs didn't function and they're deprived of oxygen and their arms and legs and faces turned blue and then they would die. It's horrible. It was a shockingly deadly pandemic, killing between 50 and 100 million people worldwide. Well, that's just an assertion by John Loftus, which is exactly what you read in any major account of it, from Johns Hopkins, Cambridge, Oxford, the Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic. You look anywhere and find somebody that disagrees with the 50 million. Sometimes they'll say 20 to 30 million or so. But the point is, you know, that's not an essential part of the content of the book, The Sleeper Agent. So if you disagree with what, you know, the narrative that says 50 million, and if you feel like, no, it was all overblown, that they, you know, gradually they started with 150,000 or whatever and blew it up for the purpose of scaring us about viruses and now scaring us about, you know, reviving that virus. My point is, it's easy to cherry pick something that you disagree with and then use that as a roadblock to not reading the book. But if you don't read the book, you just really don't have the perspective to comment on it. So if you really want to know about Lyme disease, read this book. And this really is the juice. Okay? So there's an awful lot of controversy back and forth about COVID and politics. And it is a political agenda to keep the American people from knowing that, yeah, we've been infected with these viruses all of our lives. And yeah, certain things will reactivate them. This is not a new idea. This is Dr. Mary's monkey's idea that there are certain forms of virus that remain dormant for 20 or 30 years, but they don't go away. And as we, as our bodies get older and we lose all of that natural vitality that we're born with, gradually systems get weaker and weaker. And as the immune system starts to have weaknesses in it, these viruses then can easily come back to life and start haunting us and giving us horrible things like Parkinson's or heart attacks or, you know, encephalitis. The idea that these viruses have been implanted secretly over decades as a result of Soviet bioweaponeers and calling, you know, they said day X in the book here, Adam Finnegan says day X. The release was in 1945, that Joseph Stalin, still in power, knowing that the West had far more capacity to build bombs and tanks and have kinetic warfare, decided to put much more effort into biological warfare. And so when they captured Eric Traub on Ansel Reims and took all of his stuff, and the other scientists as well, under their version of the Alsace mission, you find that all of these biological, we look at them as like experiments, but they're not. They are creating weapons that are getting released. And one of the big illuminations for me was to consider the fact, and I didn't know it, that our vaccines were largely made through horses. The virus, or the killed virus in that case, would be put into a horse and allowed to do what it does, and then you draw the serum out of the horse, and then in there you refine and get out what they use for a vaccine. But what's in the horse serum? Did anybody ever care? Well, we know now. We know now that there was a bioweaponeer traveling through the United States, this guy named Von Seckinger, I think. And anyway, it turns out that he is probably a German, but he is actually acting as a secret agent for the British. The British, using a German as their agent, created diseases in the horses that were needed for the First World War. And these diseases in those horses, glanders and other things, they turned out that they could weaponize these against humans. So by infecting the horses in 1915 or so, or whenever it was, this German/British agent began the tragedy that we face now with our defective vaccines being themselves polluted with the horse serum and whatever they put into the horse serum. So the political agenda is to not look before the summer of 2019 for the source of the COVID infections. But the COVID infections are a spike protein, and the spike protein is the same thing that causes the Lyme disease, and that it causes the suppression of the immune system. And if the immune system can't recognize a cancer cell starting, then the cancer cell's going to keep growing. And so this is life and death for me and for everyone else who's possibly, you know, had the polio, oral polio virus, you know, with the SV40, or when you take the jabs for the COVID, because they have the spikes in that too. And the way it works is your immune system just simply gets worn down to the point where even with more stimulation, it cannot rise to the occasion anymore, and the diseases then take over and death happens pretty fast. Well, it's been some time since I did a Mindfields, and I always appreciate your indulging me to just let my mind flow. But in this case, I'm in the middle of understanding things that are very deep and complicated. My point today is simply this: The Sleeper Agent is the most important book that you can read on the COVID situation. It's not only eye-opening with regard to Lyme disease, but it's also eye-opening with regard to HIV. But for those of us that have been struggling for years now to understand COVID, I think it's particularly important that you read the book, The Sleeper Agent, by A.W. Finnegan. And with that, we will wrap it up for now. Thank you for joining me, and thank you to A.W. Finnegan for his excellent work and for allowing me to present it here. I'm John O'Loughlin, and I hope you will continue to join me on McDuff Lives Podcast.